All right, welcome everybody to Lecture 40 in this American History Program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today we are looking specifically at Jamestown, the first successful settlement by the English in America, starting in 1607. So this, as it turns out, is a very important date. It is one of the few dates that we are going to really pay close attention to. So we'll talk about that more as we get into the lecture today. I have a little pop quiz for you guys to see how ready you are to know what we are talking about in this particular lecture. So here's the pop quiz. All right, so who can tell me, without looking preferably, what this white, big white space is here on the bottom of this map? What is this? And I'll give you one hint if you need it. It's a state. So what state is it? And anything else you can tell me about it would be interesting. I'm seeing two hands up. How many hands up am I going to get? All right, so now Walker and Allison, by the way that I would like you to do this, it seems like you're on a mobile device. So what I want you to do, if you want to give an answer or ask a question, is just type the letter Q into the chat box. And that way I will notice. You see, when you're on a mobile device, you cannot raise your hand like the other students. So it's better to be on a computer. But, so if you want to just type a Q into the box, you'll be set, and I will notice that you're raising your hand. Anna, go ahead.
Is it North Carolina?
It is. Okay, you're asking, this isn't Jeopardy, so you don't answer with a question. You tell me what it is. Yes, it is North Carolina. You are fortunate. Okay, what's this big one in the center here, just north of North Carolina, Jennifer?
South Carolina.
No, I just said north of North Carolina. North of North Carolina. Dana.
Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, so we are going to be talking about this area here. So we really need to be familiar with this. And this map is entitled Virginia and its Neighbors. And it is the week one geography map. So if you have not yet gone and done this map according to the geography instructions, I really suggest it's time to do that now. Because you need to be familiar with where is the James River, and therefore where was Jamestown, this very, very important settlement in American history. And then you can locate all kinds of fascinating things, such as there's a weird diamond-shaped thing in here. And it's not a state, and it's a unique place, of course, in all of America. So you should find out what that is. And there's a really tiny state here. States come in all shapes and sizes, very interesting. So this is starting, and this is getting to learn what America is. America has 50 states, so there's a little bit of a lot of geography there to learn, and you probably won't memorize all of it for a long time, and that's okay. You might succeed in memorizing it for the test and then forget this and that, and that's okay. It's something that you do repeatedly over time to get familiar with the geography. And the more history you learn, the more the geography comes to matter, and the more traveling you do, and there's a lot of things that help you to learn the geography. So, right, what we're doing here at this level is we're starting to get oriented to things that we need to know. And geography is one of those things. So please set your homeschool on the path of doing the geography work now if you haven't already. And it'll be much more, I think it'll feel more relevant if you're just starting now in a way, because it has to do with the colonies that we are studying. So, keeping this map in mind just a little bit here, I'm going to reveal to you a map that's going to be on the class webpage, that has to do with the colonization of America. And so we're going to be kind of asking a variety of questions about this and thinking about what this means here. It's an interesting map to look at. And just to help you get situated, right, what I've done is I've put the modern day place names and sometimes locations like rivers, okay, on the right hand side with the things that were happening in 1606, just before Jamestown was founded, okay, on the left-hand side. So you can compare them. And it's an interesting comparison to make because this, on the right-hand side, is the world that we live in. And this, on the left-hand side, was, well, how things got started. And how they got started, as it turns out, has quite a bit to do with how they ended up. So that's part of the interesting thing in terms of where the states are today, where the lines were drawn, and stuff like that. Okay? So what happened was, all right, we know 1492, Columbus discovers America. People start coming over here looking for a place to sneak through the continent and get to Asia. Turns out there isn't such a place. So they start to think, okay, what's the consolation prize here? And they're thinking, well, okay, let's see what we can do with this big continent. Sir Richard Hakluyt, or no, he wasn't a sir. Richard Hakluyt writes this essay called Discourse on Western Planting. Bless you, Patrick. Hopefully the sound has not been cutting out for everybody. If it has been, let me know. So now what has to happen is, the English people have to go. Well, you tell me. This is kind of an interesting painting here. I want to show you guys a cool painting. That's, of course, the settlement. But here's an interesting painting. I was tempted to use it in History Through Art, but I'm not so super keen on it. That's actually kind of a good painting. But what's going on here is... what we have here in the center of the painting is the king. And, you know, he's sitting down and everybody is tending to him and he's all very haughty. And then we have this other man here who's presenting a set of papers to him. So what's going on is if you wanted to form a colony or even try to do it, what did you have to do? How did it work? Right? Remember, this is Europe, and Europe is ruled by kings, and making a colony means that you're going to go somewhere, settle it, and bring it under the control of your country. That means bring it under the control of your king. So anything that you want to do, what do you even have to do before you can even do it, Dana?
You have to ask permission from the king.
He's got to give you what's called a charter. A charter, and we'll talk about some interesting charters in history here. And so, yeah, this happens to be a story a little bit later in history by somebody, a colonizer named William Penn. And he wanted to make a colony and ends up being Pennsylvania, as we'll see. But this was the same process for any colonizer. You had to go to the king and get permission to make a colony. And so we have this man named Bartholomew Gosnold. Here is a very pretty painting of an expedition that Bartholomew Gosnold had made to America in order to... you know, learn more about it, see what there was there to find and or, you know, to make and so on. And so he found different things that were worth making in this place. It turns out it's a place near Massachusetts. So that's going to be, I think, in your week 2 geography work, which everybody should be getting to as well, to know where Massachusetts is on our map. And we'll see it again when we go back to our map. So they were finding things, and Bartholomew Gosnold and others went to the king, and they said, could you give us a charter, please, so that we can go to the Americas? And this map shows us the result. The king and his advisors came up with a really clever idea to try to get people to go to America. And the idea is shown here on this map with these lines. Notice there's a line here at the 45th parallel in geography, right? We have lines of latitude in the 41st, 38th, and 34th. And the king said, okay, there were two competing companies, basically. They were called Virginia companies. One of them was called the Virginia Company of Plymouth, and one was called the Virginia Company of London. And so the king said, all right, you guys get permission to go over there. You guys of the London Company, you can go over here between 34 and 41. And then the king said to the people of the Plymouth Company, you guys can go over here between 38 and 45. Each of you have these special permissions to go to America and create a colony. Now, what was interesting was, if you noticed what I just said, the king said the London Company gets to go here, 34 to 41. And the king said to the Plymouth Company, you guys get to go here, 38 to 45. So what's interesting about this part in here that's marked in gray then? What did the king do, in a sense, with this part? One more chance here. Let me explain it one more time. Everybody, crank up your focus here and see if you can figure out this puzzle. The king said to the London Company, you can have this between 34 and 41. The king said to the Plymouth Company, you can have this between 38 and 45. Wait, didn't something just strange happen? Didn't something strange just happen? The charters said something a little bit strange, did they not, Anna?
The lines they're crossing.
They're crossing, or the regions that are being granted in the charter are crossing, right? So the king said, this area in between, he gave it to both of them at the same time. Now, is it possible for two people to own the same thing at the same time? No. So Dana's thinking, uh-oh, this is going to lead to war. Well, thankfully not. Thankfully not. It's not going to be war because these are Englishmen and they're going there on behalf of the king. But what do you think he was doing? Why was the king giving this area to both of them at the same time? That's kind of weird. Why would the king do that? It has to do with what he was giving. What was he doing? He was giving them a charter, which means he was giving them permission. What does that mean? Maybe you can sort through this puzzle here. What was he, by giving permission to both companies to go here, what was he trying to do? You both have the right to go here. Abby, what's your thought?
Maybe he was trying to make it more populated, more people living there?
Yes and no. Here's the deal. Here's what the two charters said. He said, you guys in the London Company can go here all the way up to 41. You guys in the Plymouth Company can go here all the way down to 38. And then he said, well, you cannot form a colony within 100 miles of each other. Now, what was he trying to do? You cannot form a colony within 100 miles of each other. What do you think that was about? Is it a difficult puzzle? It must be. Nobody seems to get what the king was doing. Jack is on to it. Jack, tell us the answer.
Well, I think it's so that they'll race to get that land and progress will happen faster.
Excellent! Jack has solved the puzzle. Why would the king give this to both of them, but say you can't make colonies within 100 miles of each other? He wants them because if you're first, and if you succeed, then you get to have it. Yes, it was a way of creating a competition so that this was going to happen. Because by this point, for more than 20 years, companies had been trying to make settlements, but they were failing. They weren't able to do it. So the king wants them to succeed. He wants them to take this seriously. So he made it a contest. He says, get down there and whatever you can do, and if you succeed, it will be yours. Which is pretty cool. Right? Imagine if you could get here at the opening of the Hudson River and you could own all of that today. Guess what you would own? Wouldn't that be nice? You would be much more than the richest person in the world. What if you could own this spot right here? What would you own that I'm circling? Anybody know their geography? Oh, look over here. It's a giveaway. It's a giveaway, Mr. Powell. It's over on the right-hand side. Patrick, what would you own?
New York.
New York City! All right. Probably the most amazing city in the world. So, yes, and the richest and so on, right? So, oh my gosh, if you could make a settlement there, then you could own that, then you might be able to own the most important city in the world later in the future. Well, that's not what happened. The two companies competed. And one of the companies tried to create a settlement up here, and they failed. And Jamestown was the first one to succeed, starting in 1607. So this is an important spot in American geography. Here, Jamestown, out at the mouth of the James River in what is today Virginia. So definitely this is a really important part of American history. Something that you need to be familiar with in your geography knowledge of America. Going to Virginia, I think, if you haven't been to Virginia in your whole life, I don't know if you can really call yourself an American. Because that's where it all started. And that's where Thomas Jefferson lived, that's where George Washington lived, that's where James Madison lived, that's where Patrick Henry lived. That's where Jamestown was. That's where Williamsburg is. That's where the Battle of Yorktown was fought. There's no place more important in the history of America than Virginia. So it should be a pilgrimage that every American makes to Virginia at least once in their life. So try to plan a family vacation there if you haven't been there already. And you can ask Mr. Powell for tips on what to see when you're there, because there's amazing stuff. It is a wonderful place to visit to know more about America. All right, so anyway, what about this Jamestown colony? You know, a settlement at first is all that it was. There really wasn't much to it. So what about it? Well, where are my windows? Oh, I went to the wrong one. I apologize. So we come back here, and we come back to the Jamestown settlement, right? So what happened here? How did America get started? Well, it wasn't easy. For one thing, you're looking at these boats here. I think there were three boats. I think there were, in fact, three boats, kind of like Columbus's voyage. I forget the names of them. There were some interesting names. But there were about 100 colonists on board with all of their supplies. And remember how I was asking you, well, why was it so hard to make a colony? And we were talking about how hard it was to survive. Here they are cutting down trees and making homes for themselves and so on. Let's not worry about those things now, please. Okay? Let's stay focused. So here they are trying to make their lives. Well, guess what? Here is something quite amazing. 100 colonists left England to come and make this settlement. By the time they had reached Virginia, 16 of them were already dead. 100 people left England, and 16 of them were already dead by the time the boats got here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Wow, would you want to get on a plane and go to London if there was a 16 out of 100 chance that you'd be dead when you get on the other side? Right? Would there be a lot of globalization today if that was the price? All we have to do is pay about, I don't know, $400 to get on a plane. That's not much compared to a life, is it? So we certainly have come a long way. But there are 16 of the people who wanted to come and live in America died before they even got there. That was how terrible it was, how hard it was to succeed just in traveling across America, traveling across the Atlantic Ocean. Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. And then when the settlers got to Virginia, well, they started to run into a bunch of different Indian tribes. The first, by the time that Jamestown was settled, they had already encountered about 4 different tribes in the same area, which was, well, quite complicated, as you can imagine. The first tribe that the Jamestown settlers encountered were a tribe called the Chesapeakes, and then they encountered another tribe called the Paspahegs, and then after that they encountered a tribe called the Paw Monkeys, and after that they encountered another tribe called the Powhatans.
Yeah!
And so it was very complicated to figure out who these people were. Did they all speak English so that they could explain how the tribes were organized? Could they explain to the Jamestown settlers, well, here's how things work around here, and who's in charge? No, it was very complicated, very difficult to figure things out. And on different occasions, well, these are very primitive people. No different from anybody else in the world, but we know that when people lived in tribes, what did they think of other people? What was it to be in a tribe? What was it like to be a person who thinks of themselves as belonging to a tribe? See, we don't have much of that left in the world, though there's quite a bit of it still in Europe, in other parts of the world. But Americans don't mostly think of themselves as being in a tribe. Abby, what's it like?
You usually don't like other tribes. You probably fight a lot. You're not very civilized sometimes, and it's not the best life to live.
Yeah, you're being very, very diplomatic there, Abby. In fact, it's much worse than that. It's much worse than that. Tribal life is really quite awful. It was the primitive, raw kind of a life and barely able to survive in nature. And so, yeah, tribes were groups of families of people that were related to each other and that were just basically trying to get along, try to survive, hardly able to survive, basically. And so, yeah, their life was very difficult. And all of these tribes, as it turns out, were in a kind of empire. I don't know. That's way too big of a word. There was one of the tribes that was more powerful than the others. So not surprisingly, just like in Europe, with the tribes of Europe, with the Franks and the Lombards and the Visigoths, and you remember all those guys, how they were always fighting wars against each other. And, well, the Franks became the strongest, and in different places, different tribes made kingdoms. Well, this is still, in the Americas, the people were still quite a bit more primitive than that. So they had barely gotten to the point where you get different tribes fighting each other, and one of them is kind of becoming the strongest. Still nowhere near anything like having a kingdom in the Dark Ages in Europe, but, okay, you've got a bunch of tribes, and one of them is the strongest, and the strongest was led by a chief named Powhatan. And so this, he becomes an important character in our story, because the Jamestown settlers are settling in land that, well, different tribes are all around, but the most important tribe in that area is the Powhatan tribe. So the leader of the colonists, one of the colonists named John Smith, is going around and trying to meet with all of these different tribes and trying to learn from them, trying to see what things are like and find out what they can do, and maybe if they can find a way to live side by side with these people and get their help and so on and see what's going to happen. Well, John Smith was captured by the Paw Monkeys, one of the tribe, and taken to the leader. Taken to the leader. Now, I wish I had the best possible painting of this. This is a pretty amazing painting. The person who took this photograph didn't do a very good job, but it's a painting of Captain John Smith, the one, you know, obviously European person here, who has his hands tied, and he was taken to the leader of the Indian tribe, Chief Powhatan, which is this person right here. And I don't know if every Indian tribe had this practice of decorating your head with feathers or not, but it's a very common kind of thing that Indian tribesmen would do. And so he is he's being presented to the leader of the area. There's hard to find a good word. We could say the word would be chieftain of that area, the most powerful tribal leader of the area. And Powhatan decides that these newcomers to his territory are too much trouble. They're going to be dangerous, and therefore the best thing to do is to just kill them and get rid of them. And so, right, we see this man in the painting here who's got a club or something, and he is going to kill John Smith, and they're going to attack the English and drive them off. Which is pretty much what we'd expect, right? Tribal people pretty much felt that way in the world. They were afraid of others and other people taking their stuff from them. And so and the more primitive they were, the more frightened they were of everybody else. And so he's going to be killed. And then famously, what's happening in this painting? Even though I know it's not a great photograph of the painting. Famously, something happened. There is a lady here, a woman, right? And Dana, what's happening?
She's trying to save him.
Yeah, this girl's name is Pocahontas. Or she has different names. That's the kind of Americanized version of the name, if I remember correctly. She's the daughter of the chieftain, and she is stopping the execution. Please don't kill this man. So she's a young person who doesn't want her tribe to kill somebody else. She wants to try to see who these people are and to live in peace with them. So, yeah, this is a nice story, and I'm sure you can find interesting books about it. You can find books out there about John Smith, and you can find books about Pocahontas, and maybe you can find out what happened later on in their lives. There's quite an interesting story involving both of them. But basically, this was part of the problem and why it was going to be very difficult to create a colony. There were already primitive people there. They didn't use the land in a way that civilized people would really understand. They were, like I said, very primitive. They hardly made use of the land in a way that civilized people would understand. So when the people for England would come, they would use it in a very different way. And they would expect to organize the land in a civilized way, in a modern way. And those two ways of life were really incompatible. It was going to be very hard to figure out, was there a way for these people to live side by side? As we know, ultimately the primitive people had to give way. The more advanced people with more advanced weapons were too strong and too insistent that they would get their way. But we'll talk about these different kind of parts of the story of colonization as we go here. But the most important thing about Jamestown, there's a whole bunch of interesting stories that we can learn. The most important thing about Jamestown is simply that it was the first time when, well, Englishmen actually succeeded in doing this. It was going to be hard, beyond difficult, because they're going to have to fight the natives and try to force them to accept having Englishmen in their backyard, so it certainly was not going to be easy. Sometimes they would get along, sometimes they wouldn't. And then, beyond that, well, it was a very different place to live. How are you going to grow enough food? How are you going to make something that people back in England want? And if people, like I said last time, are wasting a lot of their time looking for gold, then they're not going to be making food. They're not going to be succeeding in making a colony that's going to last. And so, in fact, year after year, people would die, and hardly any of the colonists survived at first. By 2 years into the colony, here's another scary number. By 1609, over 500 colonists had been brought to Jamestown. By 1609, over 500 had been brought. Only 60 were left. Wow. Scary, right? How is there going to be a United States of America if you got to take 500 people and by the time you're done, there's only 60 left? That's not a formula for building a country. Right? Patrick, what do you think?
Well, I was thinking that if they had brung 1,000 people, probably something like 210 or 11 would die.
Indeed, even more than that. If you want to do the careful math, if you do the careful math, what we're talking about here is more than 80% of the colonists dying. So, how are you going to solve this problem? How are you going to make successful colonies if 80% of your people are dying? Wow. I mean, first of all, how are you going to get people to come? What are you going to put in your advertisements in 1610? That if you're a colonizer and you want colonists, what are you going to say to people? I'm going to put you on a boat. I'll take 100 of you. For free. And then the colonists are saying to him, well, okay, how many people are going to survive the trip? Oh, I'm going to put 100 of you on the boat and 16 will die. What? And then by the time you get there, out of every 500 of you, 440 will die in the new land. How many of you guys are signing up for this?
Oh, my.
Does this sound like a really nice project that you would want to do? Oh my gosh. How are they going to succeed? That's the amazing thing, is that eventually they are. And Captain John Smith is going to be one of the people responsible for the success. It's going to be extremely hard. But they are going to succeed eventually. So tomorrow we'll talk about the success of the Jamestown colony. How did they actually manage to make a real life, not this this is not a real life, right? If you have 500 people and 440 die, that's not that doesn't make for a good life, right? So it makes for really strong people who are left over, that's for sure. But but it's just not enough of them, right? So tomorrow we'll talk about the success of the colony. And, well, in the end, this becomes really important because Jamestown is the first successful colony. That means the fact that they did succeed, as hard as it was, means that we are going to get, in the end, a United States of America. I mean, this is the only way that there is going to be a United States of America is if there are colonies here of people that have figured out a way to actually live here. Well, it's going to be hard for them, but they are going to do it. So it's pretty amazing, and we'll get to the story of the success of Jamestown. It's a kind of a fascinating story all by itself, and we'll continue on with colonization tomorrow and next week as well. All right, so that's it for today, though, folks. Last questions or comments? Dana, I still see your hand up. Put your hand down unless you have a question or comment. All righty. Good. All right, tomorrow, the success of the Virginia colony. How did they do it? Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.